Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Weird flex, but okay. I don't know about you, but I don't understand anything that was just said in that video, and I'm kind of okay with that. My name is April Colquitt. If you don't know me, I'm the Wellspring Kids Director here at Wellspring. I have the privilege of serving on our staff, and today I am so excited to be wrapping up this awesome series that we've been in for the last several weeks called Over It, where we have been learning this one guiding principle throughout this series: we can be set free from the people who set us off. Whether it is small irritations or major dysfunctions that we have, we can live a life that is free from allowing other people to determine how we think and how we feel and even how we act. That's what we've been learning, and Trey's done a great job of delivering some amazing content in this series that's super practical and helpful. So if you've missed any of the last few weeks, I want to encourage you to go to our Wellspring app, download it. If you haven't downloaded that yet, it's a free app, and you can catch up on all the content that you've missed in this series. I promise it will not be a waste of your time. It will be so well worth it. And as we think about the people who we need to be set free from setting us off in our life, we've been keeping it pretty broad in this series so that you can apply this to all the many different relationships in your life that you struggle with. But today we're going to talk in a little bit more of a specific way about one group of people who affect every single one of our lives. And some of you experience these people on a daily basis. Others of you might experience these people in more of a secondary way. And as you might have guessed from just watching that video, the people that we're talking about today are students. When I say students, I'm talking about anybody that's under about the age of 25, kids, teenagers, college students. And the reason that we're talking about them today is because the longer that I spend in family ministry, which has been a while now, the more apparent it becomes that there is just a certain level of frustration that more mature generations have towards students, and that equally students feel towards older generations. There is just this gap that we all feel. And again, if you're wondering why we're talking about students today, then consider this. Have you ever thought to yourself, or maybe you've said out loud, kids these days, I just don't get them? Or maybe you've said, what is with these teenagers? And maybe you've thought to yourself, if I was their age, or when I was their age, we would have never done that. We would have never said that. We would have never worn that. If you are a parent in the room, I'm a parent of two middle schoolers, one soon to be high schooler. I can guarantee if you have kids, you've probably said something very similar and felt that frustration of trying to understand your kids. But even if you don't have kids, maybe you're a grandparent, or maybe you are an educator or a coach of some kind. Maybe you just have young people that work in your office. You're an employer, or you work alongside some young students in your office. You might have felt that same frustration that I'm talking about. But really, even if you've just been to a sporting event or to a concert, if you spent any time at the mall or been to the movies, you may have encountered students in a way that left you feeling frustrated and saying, I am so over these students. And see, when someone isn't like us, it's easy for us to pick on them and to say we're over them. And so when you see students always on their phone, or they don't make eye contact when they talk to you, when students are stressing out over the smallest things, or when they come across as being entitled, it's easy to find ourselves saying, I'm over these students. And what Trey has been teaching since week one is that when we find ourselves saying we're over them, we are basically giving ourselves permission to dismiss them. And so when we think about it like that, when we consider that we might be dismissing the next generation, it's easy for us to see why that's a problem. Because students are the future. Students will one day be our doctors and our technicians, our engineers. They will be the politicians and the parents and the spiritual leaders of the future. The students who we're taking care of right now will one day be taking care of our country, taking care of our economy, and one day they're going to be taking care of us too. And so that is why at Wellspring we are so invested in students. It's why we're so invested in kids, because we believe that God wants better than frustration with each other. And if you're wondering, adults, students are just as over you as you are of them, right? Students, when the adults in your life are blasting 80s and 90s music in the car and jamming out to it, aren't you over it? When they are always telling you to pull the AirPods out of your ears and just listen to what they have to say, or when your mom says, oh, did you see what your aunt posted on Facebook? You're so over it. Adult students are not on Facebook like you think they are. When you never can understand why in the world they want to watch other people do things on YouTube, they are over it. Because all you do is watch other people cook food and watch other people redecorate their houses on TV. It's the same thing. So they are over you in the same way. And it's pretty hard to deny that there is just this gap between our generations that cause frustration. It leads to miscommunication. It leads to misunderstanding. And we believe that God wants better, and not only that, but better as possible. And we believe that if we can learn to accept students and to embrace who they are right now, that we can partner with them for a better path forward for all of us. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. In this series, we've been learning that we can live free from the people who set us off, but that doesn't start by expecting the other person to change. Trey has said it actually starts with us. And so we've been learning that if I want to be free, the path to better begins with me. The path to better begins with me. Jesus models this for us. And today we're going to look at how Jesus models this specifically towards young people, towards students. But before we do that, I want to invite someone up who's going to help me lead this conversation today. And I am so excited to invite him to join me. He is not only an incredible student pastor, but he is also an awesome husband and an amazing dad in our home. Would you guys help me welcome Eric to the stage?
Awesome. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Glad you get to join me up here. This is going to be fun.
Yes.
You guys might not know this, but we've never been able to do this before together.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
It's going to be fun.
She let me come and share some of the spotlight with her. She always does such a great job up here, so thank you for letting me be
thanks,
up here.
Thanks, babe. I need you to be up here and, you know, help us look good today.
Yeah, okay.
He actually knows so much more about this than I do because he leads our students, like I said, and he's our student pastor, and he does a great job of some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. So
yeah, so as we have this conversation, and April's done an incredible job of setting this up. Kind of the first step to begin, as if we want to be set free, it begins with just realizing this generational divide that she's talked about, that there is a gap here, and it keeps us from helping us kind of understand and appreciate those people that are older than us in some cases or younger than us. And it's real, and it's there. And is it possible for us to overcome that? Is that something that we can do? We believe it is possible, and hopefully by the end of today, you will as well. But here's the reality. The world that these students are living in today is vastly different than growing up in the 70s, 80s, or 90s. It's so different. Yeah.
We lived in the good old days.
Yeah, okay. see, students today, they don't know a world without technology. They don't know a world without a smartphone or Google that they can type in and figure out whatever they want. It's a completely different world. But instead of changing our teaching, our parenting, our coaching, our leading tactics to help fit the world they're in, we tell them to adapt to our norms and how we were brought up.
Just do it our way.
Yeah, just do it the way we were brought up. And we believe that there's a better way. And we believe, as April said, that Jesus tells us and shows us that there's a better way forward, that we can try to figure out ways to seek to understand them.
Yeah, and there's a story that I want to look at from the Gospel of Mark today. This has always been one of my favorite passages as a teacher, as an educator, and someone who works with kids. You might be familiar with this story. It's found in Mark chapter 10, and Mark begins by telling us that one day Jesus is teaching the crowds of people, and some of the adults in the crowd bring their kids to see Jesus. And the kids are running up, they're high-fiving him, they're probably hugging him, they have all kinds of questions for him. They're just excited to see him. And the disciples see what's happening, and they perceive that these kids just have entitlement issues, right?
Yeah.
So they go over to the kids and they say, hey, Jesus is busy, you're bothering him. And they actually tell the kids to leave Jesus alone. Mm. And just as a side note, let me say this. As I was studying this passage recently, I thought, you know, the parents are the ones who gave the kids permission to come and see Jesus, but all the blame was placed on the kids.
That's right.
Isn't that interesting? It's already we see misplaced frustration. But Jesus actually gets angry. This is the one of the few times in the gospel where we see him get angry. And so this is what he says. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. He basically says to his disciples, hey guys, slow your roll. These kids aren't bothering me. You could actually learn something from them here today. And then he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. And I can't help but think that there were some unique qualities that Jesus saw in these kids that he loved. And it was their eagerness and their curiosity. They were so excited. Mm. And it's when we become adults that we stop learning new things. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
The older we get, the harder it is for us to learn new things. Not only does our brain stop developing, but life experience just causes us to become more critical of other people. Yeah. And in some cases, we even can become cynical. And so Jesus is saying, don't be like that. Instead, be like these children. Yeah. Be like these young people who are curious and eager and full of hope. Be full of hope like them. Mm-hmm. And then he does something. Mark says that he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them.
And I think that's so
almost
cool.
Makes me emotional every time I read that.
Yeah. I love this passage because I love what Jesus is showing us to do. He doesn't dismiss these children when they come to him. He embraces them. When the adults around them saw these children coming up to him and say, no, don't do that. They saw it as annoying. Jesus saw it as something that was pretty cool. It was pretty awesome. When the adults around him thought, this is just these kids being entitled to some time with Jesus. No, Jesus saw that as an enthusiastic way for them to come and hang out with him. I love that picture.
Yeah, and we believe that Jesus wants the same thing for students now as he did in the story, that when we embrace them for exactly who they are right now, not only is it better for them, it's better for us. Just like he said to the disciples, we can learn something from them. In other words, we can partner together for a better future for all of us because students are our future.
That's right. Let me say before we go on any further and kind of unwrap this, if you're under the age of 25 today, we are so glad that you're here today. Like, we don't want you to tune out of what we're saying. You're going to hear some things today that you probably already know, and that's okay. But you're also going to hear some things maybe that will help you understand the world around you a little bit better. But we love that you're here. We love that you're a part of this today. And for the rest of us, today we hope that we give you some super practical things that you can work on in your lives so that you can seek to really embrace the students in your life instead of just saying, hey, I'm over them, right?
Yeah, we want to help parents find a way to connect with your kids, not just coexist with them. And or if you're in the business place, maybe you could begin to utilize the unique skills of students rather than just tolerating them in the workplace.
Yeah, and so the first step, the first thing you should do when it comes to better understanding them is to realize the role your attitude plays when it comes to students. What
so
you
true.
Believe about someone directly affects how you think and how you interact with them. So just recognize the role your attitude has to play. So a better way forward is seeing the good that's in these students and seeing that there is hope for their future instead of just being over them. And then taking a step to own the leadership in their development, to be a part of helping them become better. And that's what we're going to talk about.
We work with kids and students all the time, and we can tell you there is so much hope. There is so much good.
Yeah.
So if you've maybe been led to believe that this generation is hopeless and we should just all throw our hands in the air and give up, you're wrong. And so that's what we want to help you see today.
Yeah.
And so we want to first kind of outline for you, tell you some unique qualities of this specific generation of students and kind of get to know who they are a little bit better.
Yeah, so who are they? April's talked about them a little bit already. They are labeled as Generation Z. That is what this generation is called. And it's really anybody who hasn't fully launched into adulthood. And
which now everybody's wondering, have I fully launched into adulthood?
Have I? Yeah.
Yeah. If you have a mortgage, if you're paying rent on your own without any
you're
help.
You're an adult.
You're an adult.
Yeah. So we're going to use the word partner. April's mentioned the word partner already to kind of describe, it's an acronym to describe this generation. And it's an important word because if we're thinking about owning their leadership, we should all partner together to help them move forward. So the P in partner stands for private. First of all, this generation, these students are more private. Now, this might seem odd to you because you know how much they're on social media, how much they like to text. But here's the deal. The generation right before them was kind of the first generation that saw the rise of social media, that saw the rise of the internet in a big way.
It was MySpace, and then it was Facebook.
MySpace, what?
You don't know MySpace?
I'm just playing.
We'll talk later.
That was the rise where people would freely give their information. They would tell all about themselves. And this generation has seen the dangers in that. So they become a little bit more private, which that's to their credit, I would say. Yeah. But, and for instance, what this looks like is students might have an Instagram account, but they'll also have a Finsta as well.
You have to tell them what a Finsta is.
So a Finsta is a fake Instagram account. Now, they might have an Instagram account, but they may also have a Finsta account that's really who they are, but just with a smaller group of people. Or they could go on there and be somebody completely different. Mm-hmm. They're just a little bit more private. They also love vanishing messages, like Snapchat. Send a message, and then it disappears. Mm-hmm. And that's an important thing to know about this generation.
Yeah. Another thing about them is that they are anxious. You might have heard this before. If you have students or work closely with them, you might have noticed that they seem very anxious. This generation of students suffers from more mental health issues than any generation in American history. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But one of the reasons that they're so anxious is because of one of their other qualities. They are restless. Yeah. Some people will refer to this as fluid. That means that they are in sort of this ongoing identity crisis. They're always looking, where do I belong? Where do I fit in? Who am I? Yeah. And they might feel like they are one person in one venue of their life, and in another, they're somebody completely different. It's just this ongoing identity crisis. They're just very restless. And then the next thing, this one won't surprise you, they are tech savvy. We've already started talking about the role that technology plays in their life. But for us, we remember a world, many of us, before technology became a personal device in the hands of every human. They don't know a world where that wasn't their reality. And so I remember when bag phones were a thing.
Oh, yeah. Who had a car bag phone?
And then it was the Zach Morris big, huge brick phone. You know those? My dad had one of those, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. So it's just really transformed. We were talking this week about when MapQuest was, like, the greatest technology.
That's how you got
turn
to where you're
by turn directions, and now it's just Google Maps.
It's like, here are your directions, this big booklet of things.
So for them, they spend a student will spend an average of 9 hours a day on their personal device. And that's the equivalent of a full-time job, and that doesn't include their homework. So, but before you shake your head at that, students, be careful because you might not be too far behind that. Just a few weeks ago, Trey and Danielle gave us all some boundaries that we can put in place when it comes to our cell phones. And the other thing is that we are the generation, our generation is the one who gave them this technology, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to own that a little bit and know the role that we play in that as well.
Right, which leads us to the end, which is nurtured. Because technology is such a big thing today, and all of us are so aware of the dangers that are out there and the things that we need to protect our kids from to protect even their self-esteem.
Helicopter parenting.
Yeah, we're so aware of that for a lot of times, adults, parents, we have not allowed our kids to experience their weaknesses. We've not allowed them to fail in life. Mm-hmm. And that has led other adults to label this generation as a weak generation. Now, let me be clear, students, that is not your fault. That is our fault because we, again, haven't let you experience life. We haven't let you experience what it's like to fail. So they are nurtured. The last two qualities we're going to look at are big successes for this generation. These are strengths that they have. These are qualities that they have. The E stands for entrepreneurial. Entrepreneurial.
This means a big word. I'm so glad you got to say that.
I got it. Yep. So this generation, more than generations previous, are excited about blazing their own trail. The previous generation just simply did as their parents said. They went to college, they got a job, they got married and had kids. This generation wants to do it a different way. They're interested in figuring out new ways to do things. They're creating new businesses. Mm-hmm. They're creating new things that actually help our lives, which is an amazing thing. Yeah. So they're very entrepreneurial. They're very excited about doing things in a different way. And that leads us to the R, which is redemptive. This is a great quality that this new generation has. They're very willing to accept people for who they are. They're very inclusive. They want everyone to feel respected. Mm-hmm. And I think we can all learn something from this generation.
Yes.
It's a great quality they have. Jesus himself models this. He's very inclusive of the people around him. And this generation has picked up on that, and they're operating within that. So I love this about them.
Yeah, that's true. So hopefully you're taking some good notes, because just in what we've covered so far, these qualities, they are private, they're anxious, they're restless, tech savvy, nurtured, entrepreneurial, I can hardly say that, and redemptive. All of these help us understand so much about who students are. And if you have some students in your life or you work closely with some, you might be already starting to connect the dots and understand why they are the way they are. Maybe the light bulb is starting to come on for you. We want you to stay tuned in, because we are going to give you some ways that we can, now understanding who they are, some ways that we can sort of partner with them through this process. I was supposed to share that, right?
Yes, tell us how.
We just want to sort of give you one guiding principle as we think about partnering with students, and that is to seek connection before correction. Sometimes it's not that we don't care about students or that we're not trying our very hardest to do what's right by them. It's just that our approach is wrong. Oftentimes we see a problem and we just want to hurry up and fix it, and we think that our way is the best way, and so we force that on them before really seeking to understand who they are, to understand where they're coming from, what their perspective is, and to connect with them. But if we can seek to connect with them first, then that's when we earn the relational capital to be able to correct them or to coach them through different things.
Yeah. What does that look like at home sometimes? Like, even we struggle with this sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Have you guys ever been shopping or tried to help a teenager pick out an outfit? If you haven't, let me fill you in on what's cool these days. Our son his favorite outfit is to wear mustard colored shorts with tall black socks and checkered Vans. I can't for the life of me understand why that's a great outfit. And so I have sought to correct that many times and probably went about it with the wrong approach. It did not work. But you might have experienced something like that before.
Yeah. So another passage that we kind of want to bring into this conversation is another verse in the Bible that we kind of want to key in on about seeking connection before correction. It's found in the New Testament from a guy named Paul. We talk about him a lot here. He's an early church leader. He wrote letters to churches to help them know how to live in the world around them. So check out what Philippians says. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says this: don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Now, how many of you have been going about this the wrong way? Kind of opposite of what Paul is saying here. You're just, again, you're trying to seek control in the situation. Mm-hmm. You just really want the students in your life just to stop and listen to you because your way is best, right?
Yes.
Like, think about if you've ever tried to help your students with math homework. You're like, hey, do it this way. This is how you're supposed to do it. And they're looking at you very confused, and you're looking at them very confused because you have no idea what they're talking about.
Because apparently there's brand new ways.
It's a new way. There's a new way to teach. Yeah, and so you're just seeking to control. Or maybe you're trying to impress them. Paul says, don't try to impress. Think of others better than yourselves. Take an interest in them as well. Maybe that's what you've been trying to do. Don't try to impress. Think of others.
Yeah, and rarely does trying to be cool come off as cool. Usually it just comes off as laughable.
Yes.
If you are, you know, a mom and you're trying to dress like a VSCO girl, that's not cool.
Don't do it.
Do not come out in high-waisted jeans and a crop top and your hair in a scrunchie. That's not going to go over well. You're just going to look laughable. I'd tell Eric today, he couldn't wear mustard-colored shorts and checkered Vans up here. That's not cool.
I was disappointed.
I'm kidding. No,
yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah. So no.
But don't ever, just in case you ever thought about it.
Paul is saying, no, be humble. Think about an authentic connection that you can have with them there. So now we're going to talk about some very specific ways that you can seek to connect.
We want to just give you two practical ways that you can seek to connect with students. And one of them is to guide them to be the hero. And when I say hero, I'm not talking about, you know, blowing up their ego or making them think that they're Superman or Spider-Man. But when I say hero, think more like a protagonist in your favorite novel. Imagine that you are Professor Dumbledore and your student is Harry Potter, or you are Yoda and your student is Luke Skywalker. In other words, we want to give them the resources. We want to position them to solve their own problems and to be the hero of their own story. Give them ownership. Give them opportunities to figure some things out by themselves while we are sort of in the background giving them hints and clues and encouragement, but letting them take ownership in that. When we do that, what we see happen is that they will rise to the challenge. Yeah. If we come in, if we swoop in as the adult, as the hero every time, if we are the one that always has the answers and we always have the right way to do things, they will disengage because why would they stay engaged if they have no role to play in the solution?
Right.
And so one of the things that we have done just practically as parents, what you could do is, let's say you're planning a spring break trip with your family, give them the opportunity to use their tech-savvy skills that they have that are unique to them. Say, hey, we want you to choose three or four restaurants we could go to as a family on our trip. Find those. Use Google Maps. Use Google. Find some restaurants and plan that for us. Put that in their hands and give them some ownership. Simple things like that we can do.
So that's one way you can do that at home. At work, maybe employers here, if you've got students in this generation that you're working with, maybe give them some buy-in into whatever initiative you're doing. Or maybe let them think about the way you've been doing it forever and maybe think about doing it a different way. This year here at Wellspring, we hired someone in this generation. Mm-hmm. And we work really hard to let him give us feedback. And he does a great job. He has incredible ideas. And we love giving him the opportunity to speak into everything we're doing because he's looking at life in a completely different way.
Yeah, he always sees everything from a totally different perspective than we do.
Yeah, we do this in Wellspring Kids and students as well.
Yeah.
And kids, we love having students there because they bring so much energy to those rooms. We give them an opportunity to lead in those small groups, and they do a great job. And students, we also love to have them there. We love to give them an opportunity to own the ministry. So that what that looks like is I give them an opportunity on a monthly basis to speak directly to their peers. I give them guidelines based on whatever we're talking about. And then it's amazing when a student is speaking to someone that's their age, the impact that it has. So as April was saying, just giving them ways that they can have more ownership in the process makes a big difference.
And let me say that as a person who really loves to be in control, as someone who thinks that my way tends to be the right way, I know how hard this is. I know how hard it is to loosen the reins and to give over some ownership and some control, because what you're thinking, if you're like me, is I'm going to have so many messes to clean up from their mistakes, right? And it's a huge risk. I get that. But the truth is that this is how, when we make them the hero of their own story, when we give them opportunities for ownership and to rise to the challenge, it is what will grow their skills. It is what will give them confidence and lead them towards self-discovery and to help them with that identity crisis that they experience.
Yeah. So that's the first way. Guide them to be the hero. That's the first way that we can connect with them. The second way we can do that is by modeling consistency. Mm-hmm. Modeling consistency. As April said earlier, this generation's very fluid. They're very inconsistent. And so they're always looking for how do they fit in, who they are, and how they belong. And so what that looks like is, on a day-to-day basis, is they're different people in whatever setting that they're in because they're looking for acceptance. And so on Instagram, they're one way. they act a certain way. On TikTok, they're another way. At baseball practice, they're a different version of themselves. At church, they're a different version of themselves. At college, they're a different version. They're acting a different way than who they are at home. And so because of this, that's what leads to them being so anxious, because they're always looking for a way to become a different version of themselves just so that they can fit in to the world around them. And the more that we can be consistent, the more that we can be a grounding, consistent presence in their lives, that will make a big difference.
Yeah, grounding is a good way to say that, actually. And what they need, even though they don't maybe can't even communicate it, is they're looking for authenticity.
Yeah.
They need something that is real, because there's so many different things that they're looking at on the social media world that is just not real. It's highlights.
Right.
And so when we can be consistent with what we say and how we live, we are modeling consistency for kids, and we're giving them something that is authentic. And sometimes that might feel like it's difficult, but what that means is that the same expectations that we place on our students at home, in the workplace, at school, on your team, need to be consistent with how you are practicing your life and the habits that you have in your own life. So if you tell your employees, your young employees, you need to show up to work on time, you need to put your phone away, then that means that they need to see you showing up to work and putting your phone away and being there 100%. If you are expecting your players on your team to demonstrate good sportsmanship on and off the field, then they need to see you demonstrating good sportsmanship on and off the field. Maybe as a parent, you're leading your kids, you're teaching them, hey, we're going to be respectful of people and we're going to be kind towards people. That means you can't go on social media and blast a bad customer experience that you had at Wendy's yesterday. You know, you got to be really careful in being consistent. And you
That's
won't
right.
always get it right.
No, you'll mess up. You're just not perfect. And so the key is, when you mess up with your students, own it. Apologize. Say, hey, I didn't get that right. And then start again and be a better model moving forward.
Right. And when you do that, you will maintain that level of credibility and respect that allows you to keep coaching your little Luke Skywalker. Well, not little. They're big and little.
Yeah.
But another way that you can model consistency is to model consistency in your acceptance of them. Eric just touched on this a second ago, but Jesus is so consistent with us. We all have bad days. We all mess up, and we don't always meet the expectations that we set for ourselves. So when we are consistently accepting of our students in their strengths and in their weaknesses, on their good days and their bad days, whether they're meeting expectations or they're not, then we are giving them a firm ground to stand on. We're being authentic, and we're saying, we are here for you no matter what, and we want to keep coaching you.
That's right. Yeah, so the two ways that we seek connection before correction is to guide them to be the hero and then be consistent.
Yeah, and when we do those two things, we are choosing to seek connection before correction. And those ways that we are seeking to connect with our students, that is what builds the relational capital, the mutual respect between us that allows us to be able to correct them in a way that we can be heard.
Yeah. So we began today with the question, is it possible to bridge this gap between the generations, to seek to understand them? And hopefully by now you've been able to see that there are some things that we can do to overcome that. But as we wrap up, as we close, I want to mention one more thing that sometimes can trip us up. And that is that the world around us today, all of us feel like we're the victim.
It's true.
It's not just students. All of us feel like we're the victim. Parents, you feel like you're just not measuring up, so you feel like the victim. Teachers, you feel like you're underappreciated and you're underpaid, so you feel like a victim. Employers, you feel like you're a victim because you've been given a bunch of people that just aren't ready for the real world. Coaches, you feel like you're a victim because there's no way you can continue to motivate them to get them to where you want them to be. And students? Well, students are left with a broken world full of adults just longing for the good old days. Imagine if there's a better way forward. That's what we're talking about today. Imagine if we could seek to see the best in other people. That's what Jesus modeled for us. That's what Paul was trying to help us to see, that there is a better way forward. So that means, students, when you look at adults in your lives, in your life, look at them as people that aren't just over you, that don't get you, but people that are trying to invest in you in your future. Adults, when you see students in your life, think of them as people that don't who don't care about anything. Instead, think about them as people that do care. They just don't really know how to act in this world around them. Imagine what a world could be like if we sought to see the best in people and we sought to seek connection over correction.
Yeah. If I want to be set free, the path to better begins with me. And that means that we seek connection before correction. And we know this has been a lot of content today, and we hope it was helpful to you as you are thinking about leading and overcoming some of that frustration and experience freedom with the students in your life. But we want to give you just one simple takeaway today, one question for you to think about as you leave here today, and it's this: what is one thing I can do that would demonstrate my belief in students? What is one thing that you could do? Maybe as a parent, you can, or as even an employer or a teacher, give them some guardrails and start letting them make some decisions on their own. And you're just coaching them and encouraging them from the back and cheering them on. Maybe for you as a in your workplace, you could give them some opportunities to resource and to share their opinion and what they think about how you're doing things, because as Eric said, they've got great ideas. You know, maybe you just need to demonstrate consistent acceptance of your student and let them know, hey, you had a bad day. It's okay. I still love you. I am still your number one fan. I am cheering you on. And you've not hit rock bottom. You've got another opportunity. I'm going to keep trusting you and believing in you. Pick one thing. That would be my challenge to you this week. Choose one thing that you can do to demonstrate that you believe in your student and do that thing this week.
Yeah. And again, students, if you're here today, thank you so much for being here today. And I want you to know, and hopefully you can tell by this point, that you're in the right place, because we love serving on this team, and this team, this church believes in you. We want the best for you. Yeah, and our pastor, Trey, loves you as well. He gives us all the resources we need in kids and students to connect with you. So we're glad that you're here. And maybe your step today for the rest of us, if you're trying to think about what that one thing could be, maybe it's to take some ownership in serving in kids and students. Mm-hmm. We serve with an incredible team on Sunday and Wednesday. We could not do what we do without them. Maybe your step is to say, hey, I want to be a part of that. I want to invest in them. If that's you today, we would love to have a conversation with you about that. So April is going to close us in just a second with prayer. And as she does, ask God, what's that one step that you could take this week?
Yeah, let's pray. God, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for the value that you place on young people. Thank you that you have hope for them, Jesus. And I pray that we would adopt that same hope for young people, that we would willingly invest in them to lead them towards a better future for all of us. And thank you that we can partner with them. I pray that you would give us wisdom as we do, that we would have eyes like you to see their unique qualities, and that we would know how to coach them, how to partner with them, how to encourage them every single day. Thank you that you just love us on our good days and our bad days, and I pray that we would model that for students in our lives. All these things we pray in your name. Amen.